Chapter 28 again. Last week we talked about baptism, and I touched on discipleship just a little bit, and how discipleship and baptism were similar things. How baptism initiates us into the family of God. Baptism means a whole lot more than just one act where you are dunked in water, have water poured over your head. Baptism actually means you are adopted into, initiated into a family. And just like you have to learn how to live in a family at home, you got to learn how to live in a family at church, right? And so when you become a part of a church family, we have to relearn together what living life looks like among the people of God. We don't do things the same way in our family that we did in our families growing up. Right? Well, we kind of believe that, I guess. But a church family, the people of God, we should be different. We should do things differently. We should respond to the world differently. And it should actually shock people. It should shock people. So, we're going to talk about discipleship a little bit more today, because discipleship, if you've got one of these little purple bracelets on, disciple is a word that we're going to talk about a lot at Trinity Families, because it's one of the ways that we truly believe that our vision is going to come to pass. What we would like to see. Why in the world are we meeting here? Are we just like another church? We're going to meet here on Sunday, sing some songs, listen to a preacher, then forget what he says after we leave here, or kind of get hyped up for a little while. But then when the week hits, you kind of go right back down into the life that we lived before we came to church on Sunday, only to come back and maybe go to church next Sunday or not. Are we just one of those buildings? Are we just one of those people, hypocrites, churches? Look down on others for not being good. I don't know. When I was growing up, that's kind of what I thought church was. I thought, you know, you had to live a perfect life. And then if you want to be a follower of Jesus, and then Jesus would ruin all my fun. Now, I've heard that from some of y'all. I'm having fun, amen. Pastor Scott. Amen. I'm having fun. And my response to that, and Jesus' response to me was, you have no idea what fun is. Amen. Christians have the most fun in the world. If you think living outside of Jesus is fun, you are eating mud pies when you could have a steak. Amen. You've got no idea what joy is like. You've got no idea what pleasure is like if you're outside of Jesus. And so my eyes were opened up to that, and constantly, and that's a lot of your testimonies as well. But discipleship, if you read more on that little bracelet, it says following Christ together. But I'm going to talk a little bit more about what it's like. If you look in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus had already resurrected from the dead, and he comes to his disciples. Now, if you would imagine this, they've been following Jesus around for a long time, and they thought Jesus was going to come and solve all their problems. Well, Jesus came and he died on the cross. He died for their sins, and then he was raised from the dead. So when he came back raised from the dead, you know they thought, all right, he's back from the dead, out of the grave. Everything's going to be great. And then he goes, I'm about to head to the Father. He's like, I'm here for a few days, and then I'm disappearing again to where you can't see me anymore. But he leaves them. Aren't you frustrated a little bit with Jesus for just leaving and not being here personally? Seeing with our eyes. I say that a lot because it's real in our lives. We have a really hard time making this Christian life practical for our everyday life. Amen. But Jesus is so good. It was better for him to go and sit at the right hand of God so he could send the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. You see, you can't see him because he's in places where you can't see. Amen. The places that you can't change. The places in your chest that you can't change, that you can't see, the places in your life and in your heart where you're knocking yourself in here going, why in the world do I act this way? That's where he is, working on you, working on me. And I'm glad he goes there. Amen. By his Spirit. Amen. Anyway, look at verse 18. Chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And so he takes them by the face. Every now and again, I'll take my child by my face and I'll turn his attention to me. Listen to me. Right? Anybody ever do that with your kid? You just like, listen, pay attention to what I'm telling you. I am the authority in your life. You're not the authority here. Jesus is going, all right, I know you're going to freak out when you hear I'm about to leave, but pay attention to what I'm telling you. Every single bit of authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. You think we want to listen to what he says? Verse 19, go therefore and make disciples. So I'm going to stop right there. Go therefore. Because when all of us in this room here go make disciples, you actually think that's a decision that you have to make, whether I'm going to make disciples or not. Everybody pay attention to me. You're making disciples. People are looking at your life and they are following you. It's not a matter of if you're making disciples or not. It's a matter of how you are making disciples. Where are people following you? Amen. And what way are you leading them in? Amen. See, you are absolutely valuable because God has created you. He is giving you dignity and weight to your presence. When you step on the scene, people change in their emotions, whether or not they love the fact that you're in the house or they don't like the fact that you're in the house. You and I, when we walk up to people, we have gravity. We make disciples. The word go, therefore, could also be something like this, and you heard me say it last week, as you are going, as you are walking around, make disciples. And so it's not about, okay, well, how do I go do this disciple work? It is, as you are going in life, when you walk out of this door right here, when you wake up in the morning and somebody calls you on the phone, when you go to work, look at the person sitting next to you. If you go home and you've got a spouse, look at the person that's looking back at you. If you have children, you are to be making disciples out of them. When you are at work, you are to be making disciples. When you are going to play basketball, when you're doing whatever you like to do, be making disciples. You hearing me? Everywhere you go, be making disciples. They might be with you for 5 minutes, and you might not even be able to tell them anything. But you can pray for them. You might be with them for 30 minutes. And you might hear them say something that really pricks your heart. And you can maybe offer them, you know what? I'm so sorry that's happened to you. I'll pray for you. Amen. You might be with them 30 days before they have to move. Or you might be with them for 30 years. Amen. And all of that, it's not your decision. It's the Lord's decision. Did everybody hear that? You don't choose your disciples. You love them. You don't choose your neighbor. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, choose your neighbor. You shall therefore choose your neighbor. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and soul, mind, and strength, and choose your neighbor. Is that what it says? No. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. And part of the way we love people is we disciple people. All right. Some of you might be saying you've got to be a super Christian to disciple people, and that's just not true. Amen. If you are an ordinary person, raise your hand if you're an ordinary person, just ordinary. All right. Now, I'm about to read, you know, have you ever looked at a college degree program and it's got prerequisites? You have to have fulfilled these obligations in order to enter into our program. I'm about to give you the prerequisites for the Christian Life Discipleship Program. You have to be an ordinary person. You have to be all jacked up. Are you all jacked up? Are you sinful? Okay, only a few hands that time. So you need to come to my office afterwards if you did not raise your hand, and I will show you from the Bible where the Lord says we're sinful. All right. Do you have people in your life? Are there people that either dwell with you, people where you go on a daily basis? Do you have people in your life? All right. Usually, if you have these sorts of things, you cannot be a disciple maker. If you don't want to ever make disciples, just try to be a superstar. Okay? Then you're not going to make disciples. Be a know-it-all. All right? Because a pre-qualification to be a disciple maker is you can't know everything. You actually have to be weak and needy. You can't know everything. All right? Is this making you feel a little bit better about the whole discipleship making process? Okay, good. That's what I love about Jesus. All right, let's look at the next. As you are going, make disciples of all nations. All nations. In other words, back in those days, there were the people of God, the Jews. They were an ethnic group, and they thought that God loved them and only them. And so they would, when they went discipling, they would go to Jews and try to disciple Jews. And then Jesus comes on the scene and says, no, all the people from all the other nations that you think are dirty and don't deserve the gospel, you need to go make disciples out of them. So in other words, what Jesus is saying is, everybody that comes across your path, if it's a white dude, a black dude, a white girl, black girl, young, old, Asian, whatever they are, whoever they are, wherever they came from, they are a candidate. They are somebody in your life that you could very possibly be called to disciple.
Amen. Amen.
You cannot be a racist and disciple people.
Amen.
All nations, everybody, make disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In other words, get them to church, share the gospel with them, show them what it means to repent and believe in Jesus. Then we will baptize them here in the context of the church. They will have a new last name. They're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And your last name is such an important thing about us. Being brothers and sisters is a whole lot different than just being friends, right? You're not going to act a fool in front of your friends like you'd act a fool in front of your brothers and sisters, right? Because they got your last name. And you know that whatever differences you have, you got to work it out because you got the same last name. You're going to see each other at a family reunion. You're going to see each other at grandma's house around the dinner table. So you got to work it out. You got the same last name. And so that's how we work as the church. We have a new last name. We're not just friends anymore. You can't avoid me when I hurt your feelings. I can't avoid you when you hurt mine.
Amen.
We got the same last name. We got to work it out. And we're going to act like a fool doing it. Nobody acts like a fool in here but me. Ready? Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. So there's a teaching aspect to it. Now, if you're taking notes, I'm trying to summarize what discipleship looks like. I'm going to summarize it in three easy points. You teach them the way of Christ. We just saw it right there, verse 20. Teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. You teach them about Jesus. You teach them the way of Jesus. So everybody, we always kind of wonder how we teach people about Jesus. Do I have to be an expert in the Bible in order to teach people the way of Jesus? Well, you need to try to read your Bible. You need to go through the Scriptures or be in a place where they are going through the Scriptures, like at church. When I was growing up, we'd have family meetings. Anybody have family meetings? Maybe a few. Every now and again, we'll have a family meeting. Call everybody together. Dad or mom gives a word. Look, this is what our family should look like. We're struggling in this area. You two need to repent. I need to repent to you. We'll get together in a meeting. This is a family meeting. God calls us to a family meeting every week. And then he talks to us through his word. Amen. Teaching us what he is commanding us. And so we take church seriously because this is where God addresses us as a family. Right? He addresses us in our devotions, but he also addresses us as a family. So what I'm saying is, if you are going to try to disciple somebody, go to church with them. And then ask them about what the preacher said. What was God saying to the people of God today? Like, right here, what is God saying to us today? What do you think he's saying? Anybody? I want you to make disciples. I want my people to make disciples. What about this past year? What are some themes that he's been saying to us? Anybody? Abide in me. When life gets hard, abide in me. What else, Jude? Love me. What else? Your neighbor is whoever God put your neighbor is whoever I put next to you. That's what God is saying to you. Don't choose them, love them. Right? What else? Don't be fake. Isn't that a good message? Aren't you glad that the Lord doesn't like hypocrisy? Don't be fake. Don't put a mask on. Be who you are, because I love who you are. And I can change you if you'll just show me who you are. That's what it means to walk in the light. So teach the way of Christ. But teaching people is the easy part, right? The word baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, what it says is become a brother and a sister to the one who has been baptized. The one who is now a part of your church family, become a brother and a sister to them. Teaching somebody is easy. Living with somebody as a brother or sister, that's the hard part, right? So, first, you teach people the way of Christ. Second, you show them the way of Christ. You live with folks. What did Jesus do? Did Jesus stay in heaven and just kind of send commandments down from heaven? No. Hey, Jadarius. No, not Jadarius.
Jadarius.
Amen.
Jadarius.
Amen.
All right. No, Jesus, he actually came and he walked among us. Amen. Jesus actually lived in human flesh. And he came and he walked with people and he made disciples. Isn't that fantastic?
Amen.
He showed them how to walk. But here's the thing. People don't know. Have you ever heard that saying? People don't know how much you know unless they know how much you care. This showing people. Did I say that right? This showing people the way of Jesus is so important. Especially because it provides the context for teaching people the way of Christ. Because people could really care less if you're teaching them the way of Jesus if you're not showing them the way of Jesus. You know, Jesus lived 30 years on this earth before he began his ministry. I mean, he lived an ordinary life as a carpenter. Now, everybody pay attention. I want everybody to hear this. The most important thing that you can show somebody in discipleship is your own weakness, your own flaws, and your own neediness. Did you know that? See, we think, if I'm going to disciple you, I've got to be the strongest person in your life. I've got to be the sinless person in your life. I've got to be the most knowledgeable person in your life. If you're going to follow me, I've got to know all these things. I've got to be on my A game. And Jesus is like, nope. If you are going to follow people, you have got to be humble. These are the qualifications. If you want to follow people in life, you've got to be needy. If you want to lead people in life, you've got to be needy. If you want to lead people in life, you've got to be flawed. If you want to lead people in life, you've got to be weak. And here's why. Let me read you a quote from a book. Your neediness qualifies you to help others. Your neediness, offered well to someone else, can even be one of the greatest gifts you give to your church, your own neediness. You will inspire others to ask for help. See, if you've got it all figured out, you don't ever ask for help. So you're leading people in life not to ask for help. Do you see that? Because more is caught than taught. You don't teach people how to ask for help. You show them how to ask for help. You will inspire others to ask for help. Think of a time when you were in a group and someone spoke openly about the struggle they have in life. What happened next? In most instances, the group suddenly became more like a family. Other people opened up about their lives, and prayers of the group sounded more and more like the Psalms. When something like this happens, the myth that we have it all figured out is exposed, and we begin to share one another's burdens, which is the way God intended it to be. We spend too much time concealing our neediness. We need to stop hiding. Being needy is our basic condition. There's no shame in it. It's just the way it is. Isn't that great? All right. We are all needy. And when you disciple people, the best way to disciple folks is to disciple them into being repentant, confessing, needy people, taking them to Jesus. That's hard, isn't it? It's hard. So you teach people the way of Jesus. You show people the way of Jesus. And here's the thing. You love people with the love of Jesus. Because teaching people and showing people is nothing if you don't have love. Amen. And that's a supernatural thing, to love people, to really love people. Do you love people enough to pray for them often? Do we love people enough to correct them when they're going astray? Look, it doesn't take any strength at all to tell people the truth. So what we don't need to be as a family is to go outside of these walls and start telling people how they're not living correctly. Because telling them the truth about their life could be very damaging if you are not telling them the truth with love. It takes all of the strength in the world to love somebody and tell them the truth how they can hear it, telling them the truth when they can hear it. Do you think the Lord has showed you everything that's wrong with your life? No. Every time I'm going, God, just get rid of this sin in my life and everything will be okay. And then all of a sudden, a year later, I'm noticing that that sin is less a part of my life. And the only way that I see that that sin is a lesser part of my life is he's taking me on to another bigger sin. It's like, Lord, help me stop doing this. Help me stop doing this. Help me stop doing this. And all of a sudden, last year, I'm looking back, I'm like, man, that is like fading in my life. But then I'm going, but the pride in my life, the small instances where I just distance myself from others because I know more or because I think I know more, the arrogance that we come with. Do you see that? And so we need to love people. Do we love people enough to correct them well? Do we love people enough to counsel somebody? and not just, hey, here's what you need to do, and when you go do that, I'll be over here. No, but correct, counsel, and comfort somebody when you see something going on in their life. Hey, how can we do this together? I see this in your life. Maybe we can walk through this together. Do we love people enough to resist gossiping about them? Can we be a family that never gossips? Or, how about this? Can we be a family that when we do gossip, we are honest and repentant about it, and we go to the person and we confess? Or judging. Can we be a family that is not so judgmental, but when we do judge, we repent about it? Because guess what? We're going to judge. Guess what? We're going to gossip. And guess what? Those things are going to come out. It's how we deal with it that separates us as Christians. Can we go to the person and repent? You see how that makes us humble? If you judge somebody, then you're automatically wanting to be higher than they are. I'm different than you because I'm better than you. That's what judgment is. We do that naturally. You don't have to teach somebody how to do that. We do it naturally. So when we do that very naturally, Christians, see, somebody who's not a Christian will just be like, well, I judged them, so what? They don't want to be around me. Well, they did something to me. They judged me last week. They judged me, I judged them back. That is from hell. It doesn't promote relationship. It doesn't, sure as heck, doesn't promote Christ. Amen. But a Christian is somebody who says, you know what? Yesterday, I judged you. I thought I was better than you. But in judging you, I see that I'm not better than you at all. I'm actually asking for your forgiveness. And you see how that now takes us, and it puts us on the same plane. It makes us low. And that's how that Jesus advances his kingdom. All right. So to disciple people, how do you go and disciple people? You've got to cling to Jesus. You've got to know what he says. So disciple people in the teaching of Christ. Disciple people in the way of Christ. As you walk with Christ, take somebody by the arm and follow Christ together. You're not going to be perfect, but that's the good part. That's the great part. Because we're in Jesus, our sin is an opportunity to get closer. Our sin is an opportunity to show how Jesus saves sinners. Amen? Jesus didn't come to save the good people. He came to save the bad folks. And then we just love people, and we do it imperfectly. We try to love people well each and every day. And that's how we disciple folks. So that's what the Lord is saying that he wants us to be about as a family. We want to be a discipling family. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we